Many say that the GST hikes contributed to inflation in recent years. Yet, taxes are a key source of revenue to finance services and infrastructure in healthcare, housing and transport. How would you propose to finance the growing needs of Singaporeans? Now, Mr. Lim, your 1 minute starts now.
Ms. Edwards, there was absolutely no need for the GST hikes to have been imposed in the midst of a huge storm. For 2024, we had a budget surplus of $6.4 billion when GST raised about $3.5 billion. From 1999 until 2019, the budget surplus was $40 billion altogether. If you look at the difference between the CPF annualized returns, what is paid out to the stakeholders, and what the government keeps, it is another $13.4 billion. And every year, $25 billion go towards special transfers. And on top of that, if you raise the NIRC by 10%, you get another $5 billion there. That's a lot of money to finance free healthcare, free education, free school meals, as PA has suggested.
Ms. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
PSP's manifesto contains more than 60 proposals, and it also includes proposals which will increase revenue for the government. One, we have proposed introducing a modest EP levy of $1,200 per month on EP holders to further level the playing field between Singaporean and foreign PMATs. Under PSP's affordable home scheme, HDB will no longer need to pay land costs used for BTOs into the past reserves, and we will also eliminate a large part of HDB's deficit arising from having to provide subsidies to buyers, which is now paid for using our budget. We have also proposed to amortize the revenue from government land sales for commercial and industrial land so that it can be used as revenue in the budget over the duration of the lease instead of putting it straight all into the reserves. And until that is done, the money can be invested with reserves and can still generate NIRC.
Mr. Philemon, your 1 minute starts now.
I absolutely agree with the PAP government that we should not erode our competitiveness. And I think the kind of tax ecosystem we have or choose to adopt go towards ensuring that. I think taxes are a key source of revenue, and there is no denying that we need to look at taxation and how it's implemented and at which level. There are no questions about that. But it's important to ask who these taxes are aimed at. There is a perception that it is aimed more at the ordinary Singaporeans than at the wealthy, the billionaire class, the big companies. Wealth is not taxed enough. So those are the things that we are calling attention to in this election. People are looking at that, and that to us is very important.
Next, Mr. Tung, your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. It's almost like a meta question, right, that you're asking us, which is, how do we best fund the needs of our nation? And I think we've been clear that the decision in 2022 to increase the GST coming out of a high, record high 6% inflation was the wrong tool used at the wrong time. And that decision placed a tremendous burden on the average Singapore family that they're still trying to dig themselves out of. We believed then, and we believe today, that there were other methods and there were other pathways to get the revenue we needed. We've suggested, for example, changing the NIRC formula from 50% to 60% to allow a little bit of buffer there. We've talked about implementing a minimum corporate tax rate that's in line with most of the other nations around the world to allow us to be able to have, once again, a little bit of buffer over there. These are some of the ideas that we put forward to be able to drive revenue in a way that's different from the decisions that have been made thus far.
Mr. Chi, your 4 minutes start now.
Thank you. We understand that cost of living is a key concern for many Singaporeans. Because Singapore imports most of what we consume, so we also import global inflation. Now, we can't stop global inflation, although in recent years, in recent periods, it has come down. But I want to give this assurance to all Singaporeans. The PAP government will continue to provide support for Singaporeans to to cope with cost of living for as long as it is necessary. Now, we maintain a strong Singapore dollar, and this has helped to mitigate the impact of imported inflation. And we also provided support for Singaporeans and businesses through the assurance package and also the cost of living support. We have different schemes, the CDC vouchers, the cost of living special payment, the SG60 package, and also there's the permanent GST vouchers scheme aimed at helping lower and middle income Singaporeans. And we also, for many of us, provide additional local assistance within our constituency, within the community. Now, in the medium to longer term, I beg your pardon, the PAP believes that the best way to cope with rising prices is to ensure we can grow our economy. Why? Because then we can enable our businesses to do well, and we can enable our people to earn higher wages. Higher wages, wages that exceed the rate of inflation, so what we call real wage growth. I think that's very fundamental. And we will continue to invest heavily in bringing investments, creating quality jobs, helping to upskill our workers, helping our businesses to transform, and especially to look after lower wage workers. So if you look at our track record, from 2019 to 2024, during this five-year period, the 20th percentile considered lower wage worker has a 5.9% real wage growth. That means after accounting for inflation. And at the median, it's 3.6% real wage growth. So these are real outcomes that we have achieved through the PAP's policies. I think in addition, we also want to help Singaporeans to be able to manage the major expenditure items and ensure that these remain affordable and accessible to all. Now, 8 in 10 families buy their first HDB flats and they can pay just using CPF, the monthly mortgages, with little or no cash outlay. 7 in 10 patients, when they go to our public healthcare institutions, they do not pay cash. 8 in 10 pay less than $100 of out-of-pocket expenditure. 90% of our public education costs are subsidised. Now, the PAP is able to achieve this because we exercise fiscal discipline. And this is where we fundamentally differ from some of the proposals from the opposition. The PAP's view is that the current generation's needs should be covered by this generation's resources. We must not borrow or gamble on the savings and reserves of future generations. And this is why we decided to raise the GST. It was a difficult decision, as I explained recently, because no government or political party likes to raise taxes. But we had to do so because we needed the additional revenue to support the healthcare needs of our seniors in an ageing population. And we make sure that the GST increase is packaged together with support measures that can help most households to be able to mitigate the cost, the increase due to the GST. And for lower and middle income households, because of the permanent GST schemes and the assurance package, they actually pay a much lower effective GST rate than 9%. In fact, lower than even 7%. Now, we have different proposals from the opposition parties, rolling back the GST, exempting certain items from GST, and loosening the use of the reserves. I would like Singaporeans to think about whether these proposals are sustainable and whether it will mean Singaporeans will end up having less now and less for the future. Thank you.
Professor Ho, your question for PAR, please.
Okay, Mr. Lim, PAR has suggested implementing price controls on necessities such as food, healthcare and transport. How would you respond to those who argue that such controls could lead to over-demand for and under-supply of these essentials?
Professor Lin, your 1 minute starts now.
I think we may have a difference of opinion here. I do not recall my party ever proposing that we should have price controls on necessities. What we have said is that we want to remove GST on the necessities, such as food and groceries, medical care, health care, and so forth. So my answer to your question will pretty much be the same as my answer to Ms. Edwards. But I would like to use the remaining time I have on this question to say this. It is of grave concern to PAR that we must reduce the cost of living. And one way is to reduce the cost of housing, which burdens our young families and other age groups as well. And what is our proposal there? First of all, we are going to stop this surge in resale prices by stopping permanent residents from buying HDB, because they are the cause of the surge in price, which then pulls along the BTO price. And secondly, we are...
Your time is up, Mr.
Thank
Lim.
You.
Professor, your question for PSP, please.
So, Ms. Tan, PSP has proposed a new housing model that excludes land costs from the price of new flats. How would you address concerns about fairness between existing homeowners and new home buyers, as well as among new home buyers purchasing flats in different locations across Singapore?
Ms. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
On the first point, we would like to reassure Singaporeans that the AHS will not cause a crash in the resale market. The supply of AHS flats will be the same as the supply of BTO flats today. So even after 5 years, AHS flats will make up less than 10% of the total HDB flat supply. And more importantly, the resale flat market will still be underpinned by a large pool of demand from buyers who are ineligible for BTO flats, buyers who are unsuccessful in balloting for BTO flats, buyers who wish to live in specific locations, whether due to proximity to schools or their parents, PRs and buyers who wish to upgrade to a larger flat. And on the second point, HDB, under our scheme, HDB will sell new flats to Singaporeans at a price equal to the construction cost of the flat, but plus a premium determined by the location of the flats, so that flats in different areas will not be priced the same.
Well, back to you, Professor. A question for RDU, please.
Yeah. So, Mr. Feileyman, RDU has proposed a citizen's dividend, an unconditional cash transfer that serves as a financial safety net for all. How will this be financed, particularly in years where there are no budget surpluses?
I think...
Mr. Feileyman, your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. I think Mr. Chi has tried to broad stroke all the opposition as being the same and one. I can tell you that RDU is very different from my friend here, Mr. Lim Tien, and my friends at the table from the Workers' Party and the PSP. And I'm very thankful for Mr. Chi for acknowledging that they are working on real wage growth, and that's important because in the next 10 years, 1.2 billion workers are coming in, and there are only 400 million jobs that are available. So the citizens' dividend actually will be financed through the surpluses. For two straight years in a row, we have over $6 billion of surpluses, and we can use that to start a pilot on the citizens' dividend, because in the coming years, there will be a lot of pressure on the work, on the job, on the steady incomes that Singaporeans will earn, and citizens' dividend will give them the peace of mind that they are in safe hands.
Professor, your question for the WP next.
So, Mr. Teng, WP has put forward suggestions to manage the costs of various key services, such as utilities, healthcare and transportation. Which among these proposals do you consider the most pressing and why?
Mr. Teng, your 1 minute starts now.
I'm sorry to throw that question back at you, but I think it's quite difficult to make a decision here. I think all of those buckets of costs that you've kind of called out are equally important and differently important to each individual Singapore family, depending on their own spending patterns. And so for us, I think, and we have in our manifesto, ideas of how to make a dent in each one of these, and we invite all Singaporeans to go online to look at our manifesto and see how we've actually achieved that. One that I want to call out is how we've proposed for kind of tiered utility pricing to ensure that Singaporeans who use less, who are from smaller households perhaps, will pay a lower rate than those that use more. There's a benefit to incentivizing the right kind of socially conscious behavior, but it's also going to help relieve the pressure upon them. Ultimately, we think that if there has been an ability by the government to put forward and increase prices across all of these simultaneously, there's no reason why we cannot similarly roll them back at the same time.
Professor Ho's last question goes to the PAP.
Yes, Mr. Chi, with the economic challenges ahead, does the PAP foresee a need for further short-term support or longer-term structural measures to help Singaporeans cope with the cost of living? And what forms of support do you think are most needed? And can these be sustained if the weak economic conditions were to be prolonged?
Mr. Chi, your 4 minutes starts now.
I think we will need both sets of proposals, Professor Ho. We do need to take care of the immediate concerns, look after Singaporeans, but we must also be prepared for the future. So if you look at this year's budget, $143 billion, about 5% is targeted at addressing immediate concerns, and the remaining helping to prepare Singapore's economy and society for the future, helping our companies, helping our workers, investing in our infrastructure. So that will be the approach that we will take. Now, specifically, I think there are a few areas that I think are important. Skills future. I mentioned this earlier. Investing in the skills of our workers, I think, is the best way to help them to cope with all the changes and to help them to be able to seek out new opportunities. With new technologies, new investments, there will be many new jobs created, but our people need to then be ready to take on these new jobs. So we need to invest heavily in the education and the lifelong learning to help our people. We also need to make sure that we help our seniors, because we have an aging population. We want to look after our seniors, and the healthcare needs, retirement adequacy, I think those are very important. And we want to make sure that we have a good, safe environment for our seniors. So this will also include housing, public transport, making sure that our environment is safe and accessible for our seniors. Importantly, I think in this more turbulent world, we must maintain a strong social compact. And this is what PM has outlined in Forward Singapore. We want to grow the economy, but that's not the sole target, the sole objective. With growth, we have more resources. We then want to take some of these resources to invest in strengthening our social safety nets and building our social compact so that we can remain united. And if we are united, we then create the conditions to be able to grow, to be able to instill confidence in investors and businesses to invest in Singapore. So I think these two are not mutually exclusive. They actually go together hand in hand. They are mutually reinforcing. It's a positive feedback loop if you do it well. And we intend to do that. I would also like to highlight that, you know, for the housing, what Ms. Tan mentioned earlier, the affordable housing scheme, and if you look at it carefully, it is not just a buy now, pay later scheme. It's actually more like a buy now, pay more later scheme. Because if you're going to sell later, you will have to pay with interest. So I think you need to have some care in terms of how this will affect home buyers. And Ms. Tan said that the PSP is of the view that this proposal won't crash the market. I would like to maybe raise a question to ask Ms. Tan, how would you know that it wouldn't crash the market? There is a risk that such a move could have a negative impact on the housing market affecting existing homeowners. And certainly, I think my residents in Bishan Toa Payoh and also our residents in Marymount would be very concerned with such a proposal. I would also like to touch on the point about corporate tax and the point made about we have a surplus. We have to understand why we have a surplus. It's mainly from corporate tax. Because we have done well, we've grown our economy, so the corporate taxes have increased. But now with a more uncertain, more turbulent world, how can we be so confident that this trend will continue? It's a question mark. We hope it will continue. And if it continues, and we do have some fiscal surpluses, we'll see that as a good thing, because then that will allow us to do more to help Singaporeans. And as for our reserves, I've mentioned earlier, I think it's very important for us not to see our reserves as something that we can keep tapping on every time we need money. This is something that has been accumulated by previous generations. It is something that will help us to tide over difficult periods. And it's important for us to safeguard this very precious asset for future generations.